This is Bruce McKay. I'm the Vice President of Customer Service and Sales at Smile Reminder. I've been with the company since there were just three of us, 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm pleased to be able to host Dr. Bill Blatchford tonight. We do these things kind of periodically as a company, as a value-added service to our customers. You know, we may have various topics and different things moving forward, but I've known Bill for quite some time now, and he's got a philosophy that fits alongside using tools to create efficiencies at offices to maximize profits and make things run better in the office. And so I've asked Bill to be on the call tonight so that he can discuss some of the things that he knows about that will help you to increase your profitability in your practice, increase your efficiencies, you know, some tips and tricks maybe with regards to some of the recession talk that we're hearing about. We might touch on a little bit tonight. And so without any further ado, I want to turn the time over to Dr. Bill Blatchford.
Thank you, Bruce. Well, this is going to be a fun for us tonight. I always look forward to these calls. Several reasons I look forward to them. One, I love to see dentists get the information, and the second reason is I don't have to get on an airplane to do this. This last week, I flew all the way to Dallas and drove to Shreveport, Louisiana to speak to a group. It's a wonderful group, the Arklatech Study Club. It was a great group, but remember, driving from Oregon to the East Coast like that, or flying and driving, takes about 3 days out of my life, and so, gosh, I can do this in an hour. I'll do this every night if I can. Well, what I'd like to do tonight, and this call was billed at how to increase your net by $100,000 to $150,000 in the next 12 months. Now, that's not a number that we just picked out of the air, Bruce. That basically was our average last year for all of our clients. I take approximately 50 to 60 clients a year, and we used to say that we would average over $100,000 a year, but last year it was closer to $150,000 that we increased the net of our clients last year. Now, I'm defining net as the take-home for the doctor after paying their expenses on the practice. However, many of our clients elect to pay off more debt, and so it doesn't actually all come home to them, but they may accelerate their debt reduction. But that's what we want to do tonight, and I'm going to talk about some ways. I'd like, if I could, maybe go here for 20, 25 minutes, and then if you have questions, once you jot them down, we'll stop, and then you can just answer questions. If you're in a noisy environment, if you could hit the 6 on your keypad, that will mute your phone, and we won't hear that background noise. I will caution you, if you want to ask a question, it takes a few seconds after you hit the 6 button to unmute your phone. So if any of you are in a noisy environment, you might just want to mute your phone and you can listen. Well, let's start out. How do you increase net $100,000 to $150,000? And I think right now, this year, this is critical that we talk about this. If you're watching what's going on in the newspaper, and by the way, I recommend you not read the newspaper. Don't allow your staff to read the newspaper or watch television for the next until at least after November. And if you study this as I have, you're going to find that about every 8 years, we have a recession in this country. Now, the recession is created by the press and the politicians. You see, many of the politicians are talking about change. Well, for most of you on the call, you don't want change. In dentistry, we've had a run for about 10 or 12 years that have been the best 10 or 12 years in the history of dentistry. Why would we want change? Well, we're not the only ones that get to vote. And so there are a lot of people out there that want change, and especially if we can convince them that things are bad. One of the statistics I point out here is that some of the politicians are talking about the shrinking of the middle class. Well, economists define the middle class as anyone that has a household income between $30,000 and $70,000 a year. That is middle class America. And that comprises a large percentage of our country. However, in the last 6 years, we have had a shrinking of the middle class because there are more people, that is a higher percentage of people's household incomes over $70,000 a year. And so for those that want to restore the middle class, they actually want to reduce income. The 12% that earn 30 or below has stayed constant for years, and that 30 or below, but 30, by the way, is adjusted for inflation each year. So that number, though, has stayed the same at about 12%. But the shrinkage is occurring at the top. However, a couple other things that are occurring. If you're in that $50,000 to $70,000 household income, the price of fuel and the price of energy and food become major items. And it's not just because the price of fuel and the price of food. It's everything that's every product that we buy that those things play part in. So people are feeling the crunch a little bit. Whether the recession is real or perceived, it really doesn't matter. In the minds of your patients right now, when it comes to accepting discretionary care, we're going to see some a little bit of decrease. So we have to become more efficient all the time. Now, if you're taking notes on this call tonight, I want you to jot down a few notes right here. If you're doing, you can fill in the production number, but if you're at the national average of 75% overhead, that's solo practitioner, general dentistry. So if you're at $1 million practice, that means you're taking home about $250,000 if you're at the national average for overhead. Now, if we have a 10% reduction in your gross income, that is gross production, gross collections, in the next 12 months, you would have about a 40% decrease in your take-home pay. Now, that doesn't sound like much. We're down 10% in production. But when I say a 40% decrease in take-home, that is significant. And that, of course, is because all our expenses stay the same, whether we do that last 10% or not. So it's more important than ever to get your overhead down to that magic 45 to 55% area. Now, we have been very successful at helping doctors over the years get their overhead into that range. And it's very doable. It's very doable. A lot of people say, well, it's really, you can outrun it. You can outproduce it. But I say, why would I want to do that? You know, I've tried that back in the mid-80s. First year that I produced $1 million was 1985. Crowns were $300. However, I want to remind you that I used to run marathons on the weekend. I never trained. I just did aerobic dentistry. I also want to remind you that in 1985, the first year I broke $1 million, I had that 70% overhead. And my accountant was all excited. I took home $300, and he said, wow, this is fantastic. You're making as much as the general surgeons in town. And I felt okay, except that I had a good buddy, a dentist in the same town, that we used to talk about numbers together all the time, and he did $400,000 less dentistry. That is, he did $600,000, but he did it 50% overhead, and he took home $300,000. Now, I'm not complaining about $300,000 in 1985. That was good money. But the point is this. I would rather get my overhead down, and I think that right now, with this pending recession that's going on, and when you have people like Bernard Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, saying this economic readjustment that's being created, again, I think it's being created by the politicians and the press, he's saying it may last 2 years. So it's critical that we get our overhead under control. So rather than trying to outrun it and just outproduce it, and I say that because I hear doctors talk all the time, you know, if I could just have 12 months like my biggest month, I'd be okay. That is true, but it's probably not going to happen. So let's get our overhead under control. And that's the first place that I start with a practice. I'd rather have your overhead under control and then produce a lot more dentistry than trying to raise production and produce more. And I think so many dentists and I think so many consultants really don't pay much attention to the bottom line. How much can we produce? For example, when I was in the Arklatex Study Club in Shreveport on Friday last week, I asked people, why do you want to be, why are you here? Why'd you go up a day of your life to come to this seminar? And many talk about various things, streamlining, improving communications, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, come on, this is a business course. You're here to increase your net income. Oh, yeah, I guess that's right. I said, well, there are a couple of ways to do that. You know, one way is to raise your gross, and that's been traditional in dentistry. But a better way is lower the water, reduce the overhead. And that's where I appreciate what Bruce and his company does, because they put systems in place that eliminate our biggest expense, or at least reduce our biggest expense. Now, if you're taking notes again, you see, if you're going back to that practice, if you're at 50% overhead and you have a 10% reduction in your gross production or collections, it's only a 20% reduction in your take-home pay. It's only half the reduction at home. So that's key number one. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to jot down, I'm going to show you a shorthand for a budget. And if you'll list on the left-hand side of your paper, let's start with the biggest expense. And those are staff salaries. That's salaries, employers' costs for Social Security matching, workman's compensation, medical insurance, pension plans, et cetera. So on the left-hand side, let's just list all of these items that we have. Let's start with salaries, then put lab, then below that rent, equipment, supplies, marketing, and miscellaneous. All right. Now, I'm going to give you national averages. Again, these come from the ADA, and I will be the first to admit these figures are about 2 years old, but that's where the ADA is. They take them about 2 years to get their figures together. The average for staff right now is over just over 30%. But let's use 30. 30% is the average, and we're going to make three columns. We're going to put average. We're going to have one for you, and then we're going to have one what we see as ideal. So we have this column on the left-hand side with the items, and we're going to have three columns of percentages. So staff is 30%, and actually it's sneaking above that. Now that includes the entire administrative staff and the entire clinical staff, except doctors. The next item is laboratory. Lab is about 8% national average. Now, if you're using a CERAC unit, then we have to do some extrapolation to figure out what your lab bill would be if you didn't have CERAC. So that's, we have to interpret that. We'll have to extrapolate a little bit. All right, rent and equipment are 3 to 5% each. Rent and equipment, 3 to 5% each. Dental supplies are about 5%. Marketing is usually zero. And miscellaneous is X. Now put down total at the bottom, 75%. Now you can go back and fill in the totals for or the percentages for yourself at another time. But here's what we recommend. We recommend for the staff, and our clients achieve this, and they achieve it within the first 12 months we work with them, and many of them achieve it within 90 days from the time we start. Their staff salaries run between 15 and 20%. Now, right away, that's a 10 to 15% reduction based on the type of practice. And you're going to say, well, why 15 versus 20? Those practices that are highly specialized, that is, specialized in large cosmetic cases, large restorative cases, they will have a lower percentage for staff. If you have a more general practice, perhaps a large hygiene department, maybe two full-time hygienists, you might bump it to 22%. Now, I would like to see lab operate at 10+. That means they're selling more large cases. Now, to me, that number right there is the most direct indicator you have of how effective your team is, you and your team, of communicating value of restorative and Crown and Bridge to your patients is that percentage of lab. All right, rent and equipment is still going to be 3 to 5% each. Supplies still 5%. And I'd like to see a marketing budget of 3 to 10%. And miscellaneous is still X. And I'd like to see that total come out 45 to 55%, averaging around 50. Now, some of you are going to say, well, that doesn't all add up. But I'm the only one on the call that knows the value of X, you see. And X is just those miscellaneous things. So it all works out just fine. Now, I would encourage you to look at that. You see, many doctors try and lower their percentage based on their supplies, but how far can we go? You know, if we save 20% on supplies, we save 1%. But they ignore the part about team. And this is where I like Bruce's company real well, is because their system of doing so many things using the microchip, that is the computer, actually replaced people. See, my ideal staff, and now we were talking to a doctor on the call before all you've got on here, but my ideal staff for a practice doing from $1 million to $2 million is one person in the front. We need one administrator. Now, before you all panic, we do some things using the computers. For one thing, almost all of my hygienists make their own appointments and, get this, they collect their own money in the treatment room. And since the computer is right there in the treatment room, we're able to do that and still get done within the hour. Not a problem. We have at least dozens of hygienists doing that every day, scattered all the way from London to Guam. And so everywhere across the United States, in large cities, small towns, everywhere, we have hygienists doing that. We also have assistants doing the same thing. They make the next appointment, and they collect money in the treatment room. So that's all done, you see. We don't have to do that at the front desk. And then we can use things like smile reminders, which can do all of your confirmation, notifying patients, and all kinds of things that we now do by hand, we can do automatically. And I don't know how all of you are, but I live with attached to the hip with my BlackBerry, and short text messages, messages on my cell phone, that's the way to talk to me. That's the way to reach me. And I work with literally dozens of businessmen that are not dentists, and they all live on the internet. They sit in front of their computer or their BlackBerry, and that's how they like to be communicated. They don't like playing phone tag with people for confirmation. Now, I'm going to give you an analogy here that I want you to think about. My brothers are farmers. And by the way, talk about the economy. They're excited because all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, they allowed wheat to be sold in the open market all across the world, no government subsidies, and wheat went from $4 a bushel, where it's been for the last 35 years. It went as high as $23 a bushel last fall. My brothers already have next year's crop sold at $14 a bushel, and they have 3,000 acres of that stuff. Now, here's the interesting thing I want to tell you about them as farmers. They have one large tractor. Now, this tractor pulls a piece of equipment across the field. It does a 45-foot swath across the field. It tills the land, plants the wheat, and fertilizes it all in one trip across the field. It's going 10 miles an hour. It has a GPS guidance system with an autopilot, and all the person, the operator, has to do is turn that thing around at the end of the field. Now, they have a new tractor this last year that actually two trips across the field, a field a mile long, it will literally turn itself around at the end of the field after two trips. It memorizes the field and just does that automatically. And all it requires is a 100-pound sack of something sitting on the seat, and it thinks it's the driver, and it will do it all automatically. However, they do have an operator. Now, that tractor has an operator, and then they have a support truck that delivers fuel, seed, fertilizer, etc., and that truck has an operator. That large tractor replaced six medium-sized tractors. A medium-sized tractor also requires an operator and a support person. So they replaced basically 12 people with two people. Now that tractor, one tractor and two operators, each working 12-hour shifts, what they do, can do 500 acres a day. Now, it's true that they spent $250,000 just on the tractor, not including the equipment to pull behind it. But when asked by one of their neighbors, why do you have such a big tractor, or how can you afford such a big tractor, he said, how could we afford not to? Because they have to get things planted at a certain window of opportunity, and if they're depending on a whole bunch of people to make that happen, it may not happen. Well, it's the same way in a dental office. What we have done in dentistry for years is we hire people with very little training, and then we hire them a helper, which raises that percentage up there over 30%. But even more importantly than not training these people, we don't even have systems in place. We don't have systems at all, and so when I'm speaking primarily tonight about the administrative end of the office, there is no system in place. And when I say there's no system in place, that means nothing is in writing. And if it's not in writing, a system does not exist. And so what happens is when that receptionist, that administrator leaves the practice, we basically start all over again in the administrative end of the practice. And that's why some of these consultants out there lecturing will say it costs so many $1,000s to replace an employee. I'll tell you another story. Back when I was in college, back in the 60s, some of you weren't born yet, we had a war going on over in Vietnam. My college roommate and I decided if we were going to have to go to Vietnam, we did not want to go in the infantry. We were going to go as Navy pilots. So we started applying to the Navy, and I was passing all the tests, and I always wanted to be a pilot. And so I, moving through these tests, and I got a letter from Loyola Dental School, and my dad said nobody shoots at the dentist. So I got a chance to go to dental school, so I did. But my partner, my roommate, rather, went to Vietnam twice. He was on the USS Coral Sea. One time my wife and I were sitting with he and his wife, and I said, Randy, what's it feel like when you're sitting on the steam catapult in the middle of the night, the pitch, the ship is pitching, the ship is moving forward at 35 knots, it's pitch black, and the thought crosses your mind just as you give the salute to the deck officer to launch the aircraft, that the last time we were in port, we changed half the crew. In other words, the people that maintain the ship, the catapult, and the aircraft. He said, our systems are so good that we could change the entire crew, and I'd have all the confidence in the world. You see, their systems are proven systems. Their systems are documented. The people are trained on those systems. And because they're trained on those systems, they can change half the crew every time they come into port, and it doesn't make any difference. And that's exactly where a dental office has to be. We have to have systems in place. They have to be documented, and our team needs to be trained on them. And if we have efficient systems, we have a young lady on the phone tonight that was talking with Sharon and I before all of you got on the call that came from an office I was working in, and it was an office that we went from a relatively low production office. We took it to over $1 million in just a couple of years, and we did that. We had three team members, and now she's in an office that's doing considerably less than that in production, and, of course, the front office is a mess, is what she told us. And so they need systems in place where they don't need so many people. So that's your number one thing right there, is to see if you can drop, just do some math, those who have paper and pencil in front of you, if you can drop your staff salaries from 30 to 20, take 10% of your current production number and add it to your bottom line. Now that's money that either goes home or it goes for debt reduction or pension contribution, something like that. But add 10% to your bottom line in one form or another. That's a relatively easy part, but I don't want you to leave this call tonight and just go back and reduce your staff without putting systems in place. Now, how else do we raise production? And by the way, what Bruce was talking about earlier before some of you came on the call, a new product. Bruce, you want to mention that a little bit since we're on that subject right now?
Sure. Yeah, I can let you all in on a little secret. All of those of you who are currently Smile Reminder customers, we're going to be launching a brand new service. It's the first time we've ever created a second service. Smile Reminder has been the only thing we've done in the past. This one will be client-facing. That is, it's going to be for your patients. We call it Smile Dash, and we'll be sending out some information to each of you within the next week or so from the customer service team, and you're welcome to give them a call in the days to come to ask them about it even before you get the information. But what it is the ability for patients from their home to log in to an account that you give them, see their payment histories, see their appointment histories, make a payment with you online, see what the expected insurance payment's going to be. If you participate in doing Invisalign cases, they can check their ClinChecks without having to come into the office, so they can review those with their spouse or on their own from home without having to come into the office, which they normally would have to do with ClinChecks. We're working with Invisalign to do that for them. There are a number of other things that they'll be able to do as well, like we're actually giving them the ability to put reminders to themselves, and this will be, of course, you providing this service to your patients so they can put in reminders for anniversaries and birth dates and things like that and get themselves a text message or an email on important dates that they want to get reminders for. And so we're going to be launching this within the next 2 or 3 weeks. And like I said, we'll get you some more information, but it's an exciting new thing, and we've got a way for each of our existing clients to get that free of charge, and you can be sure to ask your customer service team member about that. But we will be charging other offices $50 per month for that new service. But like I said, we'll be able to get that to you for free. Just need to have some details from your customer service team. So
that's the next thing on the horizon. See, here's the interesting thing that I see, Bruce, and this exactly fits right into what I'm talking about. Anything that you can automate, anything that you can do using the computer, allows your current team to spend more time with patients in the client care area. The client care area and developing that relationship is what sells the big case. And the more time you can have, is the better off that will be.
Hey, Bill, I forgot to mention also the other thing about it is that new service is going to be the very first service that I'm aware of out there that will allow you to have a secure conversation about medical records and things, procedures and things, like, for instance, uploading an X-ray and having a discussion with your patient online and still remain HIPAA compliant. We actually will
That's
have this
wonderful.
As a an encrypted and password protected site where you can actually have conversations with patients about medically related things electronically while they're at home and you're at the office or you're at home. I think it's groundbreaking. I don't think there's anything else out there that can do that and still remain HIPAA compliant, but we will also have that ability so you can upload
wow.
before
well,
and
that's
after.
That's really great. You see, doctors, anything that you can automate allows you more time to create relationships. And what I see in so many offices is we're doing so many clerical things by hand or redundant systems that don't have to be done. You know, for example, another thing that we do in eliminating some of the work that's done out there in that front office is almost within 6 months, probably I'm going to drop that percentage from 90 to probably 75% of my clients are completely out of the accounts receivable business. That is, we are carrying a credit balance because our financial arrangements changed to the point where for any kind of restorative treatment, people pay in advance for that. And of course, again, that there has to be a system in place where your staffs learn the proper scripting to ask for the money and feel comfortable doing so. So it's proper scripting, and then it's practice, and then you start collecting the money. Because every time you send a statement, you're spending another $12 to $14 of your money on every statement. And a part of that is doesn't sound like a lot of money, except when you start to calculate your overhead per hour. And when you know the overhead per hour, and then you know what the income for that hour is, and in many parts of your practice, hygiene, for example, you're lucky to break even in hygiene on an hourly basis. And then if the typical patient walks out the door without paying, you see, you're going to send three statements before that balance is down to zero, because the first statement, the insurance hasn't paid yet, so they ignore that one. And then the insurance company pays, they send the second statement. Well, they don't pay the whole thing, they pay part. But the average is 2.5 to 3 times that we send a statement. And if we can just eliminate that whole thing, there are so many things that can be eliminated. There are so many things that we're doing just because we've always done it that way. And that frees up a lot of time for the people in the office to develop the relationship and really, literally learn how to find out what those patients want, why they want it, how long they've wanted it, what they've tried before, how'd that work, and, you know, really develop the want for larger cases. And of course, the more you can communicate to your patients the value, and you don't do it by education. I mean, that's the biggest fallacy going in dentistry is if we can just educate them into submission, they will buy. If they just knew what we knew, they would buy. Well, I'm going to dispel that one real quickly. If any of you know a physician who smokes, the only reason that physician would smoke, obviously, is he doesn't know what we know. Probably skipped pathology course the day they talked about heart disease and lung cancer, right? Or a physician who's overweight, or a physician who doesn't exercise on a regular basis. Next time you see that person, take them aside and just fill them in. And obviously, they're well-educated people. They will drop those 50 pounds immediately and start exercising tomorrow morning. You see, education does not change behavior. Education is not why we buy things. We buy things because we see it will fill an emotional need. So we've been teaching for 20 years how to sell to that emotional side of the brain, that right side where all decisions are made. Those of you that know about right and left side of the brain will notice immediately the left side is the side we process data with. It's rational. And it's the side that most of us dentists think with. However, that's why dentists have a hard time making decisions, too, is because the wires aren't connected on the left side of the brain to make decisions. You see, the right side of the brain is the emotional side. It's the side we dream with. And that's how that's the side we make all decisions with. You see, decisions are made emotionally, they're made instantly, and they're made permanently. And then we call upon the left side of the brain only to gather the data to support the decision I've already made, whether it be yes or no. We will find data to support that decision. And so what we do in our coaching program, we have 4 days of seminar during the year, and 3 of them are spent on how to communicate the value of dentistry, how to ask the questions, how to find out exactly what these patients want, why they want it, how they think it's going to help them help themselves. And as one of my very successful clients said, I want them to tell me, and I want them to realize what a wretched, miserable life they have. In his case, he has lots of cosmetics. What a wretched, miserable life they have suffering from black triangle disease, or ugly tooth disease, as he calls it. And he wants them to dream about how great their life will be after he does their treatment. And if you think about this a little bit, that's exactly how you and I have bought almost any discretionary item, is the salesperson does not educate us about the product. The salesperson gets us thinking emotionally how great it's going to be to go on that vacation, how great it's going to be to have the new car, how great it's going to be to build that new house or do that remodel or whatever it is, how nice you're going to look in that new suit. Whatever it is, it's an emotional decision, and then we gather our own data to justify the decision. The interesting thing is, when you and I and our patients make a decision to buy something, it's way more effective if we gather that data than if somebody feeds it to us, because we will find the data supports our decision. So if the team, individual team members, are freaked up of some of the routine clerical things that you spend so much time in, then they have time to actually develop the larger cases. And that's one of the keys that we find, is that when you do that overhead per hour and you find out the difference between doing a single unit of Crown and Bridge, by the way, 95% of all Crown and Bridge in this country is done one, two at a time. And when you work your overhead per hour and you figure the return per hour is just about three times when you do two units of Crown and Bridge. And of course, it just goes up from there as you do multiple units. But you see, it's just a little bit like the doctor earlier on the call, before most of you got on, was asking about his assistant, who doesn't back him up. You know, I question even more than that. Is she asking, would you like fries with your burger? You see, my brothers also raise 1,000 acres of potatoes, and that very question right there has made multimillionaires out of them, because the American public has quadrupled our potato consumption in about the last 10 years. And that question at McDonald's and Burger King and the advent of the microwave oven, we've quadrupled our potato consumption. And so we have to learn to ask, would you like to do the one next to it at the same time? Now, obviously, I'm not asking you to invent any dentistry that you wouldn't do on your own family, but how many doctors have done, for example, a crown on number 19 only to, and it's the worst one in that quadrant or the worst one in their mouth, and then only to have it on the day that we seed it recognize, whoops, why didn't I do 18? Well, because we didn't ask. And so one of the things that we teach the team members how to do is to ask those kinds of questions. And that between those two things, number one, cutting your overhead by automating, eliminating systems, streamlining, and then, of course, increasing your sales through the use of better communication skills. And that's how you raise your net, $100,000 to $150,000. And we've done it literally hundreds of times. And so I'd like to open this up for questions, Bruce. If some of the doctors have some questions, you'll have to hit the 6 button on your phone. If you're interested, you can get a hold of us by going to our website at blatchford.com or blatchfordlive.com. A really easy way to contact us. So I'm ready for questions. Either I've thoroughly confused you, put you to sleep, or you haven't got to the 6 button on your phone yet.
Dr. Blatchford?
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. With a doctor producing $80,000 a month, how many assistants should he have to be effective?
I can't answer. You know, first off, I'm going to hedge my bet a little bit. How many should he have? I don't know. How many would be effective? Generally one. We have many offices doing well in excess of a million, and actually we have offices doing 1.5 million with one chairside assistant. And again, tonight we didn't talk about those systems, but there's just about as much inefficiency in the back as there is in the front. So one is enough. Now, while I'm talking about team members, I want you to understand that if we're doing those kinds of numbers, we teach a bonus plan where the team, and I'm going to make, just for purpose of conversation tonight, let's make that assumption at 20%. If we have team members at 20% and we're doing $1 million, we have $200,000 to split with those three team members. If we do $1.5 million, we have $300,000 to split with those three team members. In other words, that's $100,000 apiece. And we have many offices in that range. I was talking to an office today that each staff, they just joined our program about 3 months ago. And each team member this last month, their individual bonus is $1,600 for a month. Well, that's not bad. But I would say one is generally enough at the $80,000 level at this point. Now, I'm assuming he's a general dentist. If he's a pediatrician, he might need two. It depends a little bit on the mix of treatment, but I'd say general dentistry, one assistant can do that very nicely. You might need a part-time high school or college student to come in for a few hours in the afternoon, clean trays, and do sterilization for you, but that doesn't cost much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, one will do. But now, that's one given some really good systems. In other words, documented systems using a checklist. I find a lot of chairside assistants don't use checklists. I've been a pilot for 35 years. I have over 5,000 hours, and I can tell you I never take off down the runway without reading my checklist. I can assure you that no commercial airline pilot or military pilot with tens of thousands of hours never heads off down the runway without going through their checklist. And they read that checklist item by item. The co-pilot reads the list, and the captain or the pilot touches each individual control and each switch and every gauge and makes sure that everything checks ready to go before you push the throttles forward. And I find in so many dental offices that we set up, the doctor is not following a system sometimes, and then we set up the equipment, and oops, 20 minutes into it, whoops, I forgot something, and everything stops while somebody goes and gets that last piece of equipment or that last material that we didn't put on the checklist. So real simple stuff.
Actually, I had another question, Doctor.
Go ahead.
What do you think about the CERAC machine? Are you involved with any offices that have it, and do you think it's worth getting?
Well, that's a difficult question for me to answer. Let me put it this way. I don't do clinical dentistry, haven't in a number of years. I listened to Gordon Christian at the midwinter meeting. He thinks the technology is absolutely incredible, and I would agree. Almost all your laboratories now are using some form of CAD/CAM equipment, at least for your substrates and almost all of your work.
Okay.
Now, the question is, how long does it take? I have clients that use CERAC very efficiently, and I have people who are losing their shirt on it. Number one, you have to figure out what is the payment on it, the materials, the ingots you're using, and how many units of can I do per month that are suitable. In other words, every Crown & Bridge unit is not a CERAC unit. And if you're doing enough units to make the payment by saving on your lab bill, well, then it starts to save you some money. But remember that time is your most valuable commodity in a dental office.
Right, and it frees up that second appointment, which is nice.
It frees up the second appointment if, however, sometimes I find the first appointment is twice as long, so it doesn't really free up any time. How much time does it take, total times to take? Does it matter if you spend 2 hours total or 2 one-hour appointments or
right.
1 hour appointment and a half hour appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, if every doctor is different, what I've noticed about it, if you're willing to go through a rather long learning curve to learn how to get fast at it, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I was thinking, I had a client a few years ago up in the Northeast that literally had two of them, and he was doing about 10 of them a day on the average, and he was making money, a lot of money on that. But I think, again, how many doctors have the patient flow to do that kind? Because remember, again, every Crown & Bridge unit is not a CERAC unit.
Right, right.
But he was doing that many onlays a day, and that was. And by the way, that 10 a day was not a high number for him. That was pretty much an average number in their practice, because I was astounded when I saw the number. I had to check my numbers a couple times. I said, this is really high. But he had a huge practice in a state where there was pretty much a shortage of dentists and a lot of patients, and he was well-established, and he had a big patient flow. You have to do somewhere around 20 a month to break even on it. It's a little different number than what some of the manufacturers are touting. And even Gordon Christian said that in his lecture, that do your own numbers.
I'm actually looking at a used one from 2004. I think they want $35,000 for it, so it's considerably less than the $100 that Patterson sells them
That's
for.
That's correct. Just be careful. I'm going to tell you this. It's not subject to tonight's call, but sometimes we save money in spite of ourselves, and you want to find out, will you get support on a used unit? Because I've known some cases where Patterson would not, Patterson being the only show in town on CERAC, and they wouldn't support a unit that wasn't purchased from Patterson. Even though it was originally purchased from them, they wouldn't support, it was a doctor in California, bought one on eBay, and he found he had absolutely no support on it whatsoever. So it ended up gathering, it was a $35 hat rack.
Oh, boy.
$35,000 hat rack.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
So, something to think of. Okay, other questions?
Bill, can you talk a little bit about what you recommend for a bonus system?
Well, yeah, our bonus system is pretty simple, and I've worked on it a lot. It was developed by another consultant, John Oldenburg, and myself a number of years ago when I was still practicing dentistry, and I was looking for a system that was fair to everybody involved. It had to be something that was not possible to manipulate by the doctor. It had to be something that was a win-win situation. And so we were looking for a system that was that the staff had control of the parameters. In other words, they had control of the changeable parts of it. I've seen bonus systems set up where, well, we'll wait and see what the net is at the end of the year. Well, gosh, at the end of the year, the doctor and the accountant would sit down and spend a lot of money in equipment or something and say, whoops, sorry, ladies, no profit this year, no bonus. And right now, if your accountant is, if you're looking to buy new equipment, and most of you are still using or able to use the Section 179 of the IRS code, and I think this year it's, for 07, it was over $200,000, or 08, it's over $200,000 that you can write off in 1 year on equipment. Well, you could have a $200,000 profit and write the whole thing off the day before the end of the year, and so no bonus. The other thing I learned about bonus systems and staff is that team members, for the most part, need instant gratification. That's why they're employees rather than business owners. That's why they didn't go to college. That's why they did not go to dental school. That's why they did not start their own business. They want immediate gratification. And when you have to have them wait till the end of the year, it's not effective. So we wanted something paid monthly based on only two things. Collections. Well, I use production collections as one thing, and the other is the level of staff salaries we have. So here's what we did. We developed what we call BAM. And it's been taught by a lot of different people, but I can tell you it was developed by John Oldenburg and myself a number of years ago. BAM is bare-ass minimum. So here's what you do. You take the total staff salaries, including all payroll costs, matching for Social Security, workman's compensation, medical insurance, pension plans, etc., add all that together for the entire team, everybody except the doctor, multiply by 5, and that's BAM. So if you have $20,000 a month in salaries, your BAM is $100,000. And so we hit $100,000, there is no bonus. But if they start going above that, they get 20% of the excess. So if your total payroll is $10,000, that would be perhaps three people. $10,000 total, about half of that going to the hygienist, the other half divided between the receptionist and the assistant. $10,000. Let's add 15, 20%. Let's make it simple. Let's add $2,000 for payroll cost, $12,000 total. 5 times that is $60,000. Bonus will start for every dollar over $60,000 that month. The team gets 20% of that. Now, we do one more thing. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of little subtleties on this. And if any of you really want this, we can get the actual math to you. If you go to our website and make a request, we can send you the whole thing. But here's the interesting thing. At $60,000, they get 20%, but we have a running three-month average going. I just had a doctor that's bumped his production. He's in Fort Myers, Florida, and he was doing about $75,000 about a year ago. Last month, he broke $200,000 for the first time ever. Now, he only has 3 team members. Now, they would get an absolutely phenomenal bonus, and they will because they're getting 20%. They have $40,000 to divide between the 3 of them. That's over $10,000 apiece. However, the month before was just about $125,000. So when you average the 2, it brings it down a little bit. However, on the other side of the coin, that $200,000 month is going to bring the average up if they don't do that much next month. So at the end of the year, though, he's fine because he'll be at 20%, you see. So, and we divide it equally between all full-time team members, regardless of how long they've been there or regardless of what their position in the office is. In other words, if the hygienist being the, probably the most highly paid one in the office, her share of the bonus is exactly the same as the newest dental assistant. And it really starts to even things out a little bit. But it's worked. We've had hundreds of offices use this system, and the team knows the rules. And once the rules are in place, nobody messes with them. Works great. Any questions on that?
So you found it works better doing monthly rather than quarterly, just so that they have that immediate gratification?
Absolutely. Definitely go monthly. Now, we're always averaging 3 months, but absolutely, it's paid monthly. And I'll tell you what, I was telling you earlier on the call, I mentioned a team that just started with about 3 months ago, and they got a $1,600 bonus a piece a couple weeks ago. And all of a sudden, that team is pumped. I mean, they're excited. That team is excited. So I think monthly is the way to go. I've seen people try quarterly. I've seen people try, wait till the end of the year if we have a great year. But nobody knows what the parameters, nobody knows the rules. What are the rules? The accountant and the doctor sit down and decide if it's a great year and therefore we'll pay you a bonus. I mean, you want to keep a team motivated. That's the whole point of the bonus system. And the beautiful part of this bonus system is the team starts making decisions about how many team members they need. They're starting to talk about it themselves. Do we need 6 people? Do we need 8 people? Maybe we can do this on 4. Maybe we can do it on